What does it mean when a 13-year-old refuses to leave the house because she's not pretty enough in real life? When a woman spends $15,000 on a cosmetic procedure with a 1 in 3,000 mortality rate just to match an Instagram aesthetic? We're living through a strange cultural moment where beauty has transformed from aspiration into obligation, from enhancement into survival strategy. The digital age promised connection and self-expression. Instead, it delivered something far more insidious, a beauty panopticon, where we've become both prisoner and guard, constantly surveilling ourselves against impossible standards that shift faster than we can keep up. This isn't just vanity, it's a systematic dismantling of women's sense of self, packaged as empowerment and sold back to us one filter at a time. Picture working at a beauty tech startup that begins innocently enough, nail art, hair services, helping women entrepreneurs. Then something shifts. The platform expands to noses, lips, chins, foreheads. During a company retreat after raising $4 million, a disturbing realization hits. The algorithm is already doing what once seemed dystopian, identifying insecurities in young women and encouraging them to modify features according to fleeting trends. This is how the modern beauty economy operates. We exist in perpetual comparison, scrutinizing body parts we never noticed before. Suddenly, we're obsessing over buckle fat and nasolabial folds, treating ourselves as perpetual before pictures awaiting transformation. The beauty industry, now worth $500 billion globally, has perfected the art of creating problems to solve. Every scroll through social media becomes a diagnostic session, every selfie a referendum on our worth. What makes this particularly cruel is how we've internalized the surveillance. We don't need magazine editors or Hollywood casting directors to tell us we're inadequate anymore. We do it ourselves, automatically, hundreds of times daily. For over 2,000 years, Western beauty standards have remained consistent. Alabaster skin, defined curves, hairless, poreless, designed by men for male pleasure. The acceptable spectrum excludes aging, cellulite, acne, body hair, dark skin, disability, and strong features. This consistency reveals beauty's true function, control. John Berger captured it. Men look at women, women watch themselves being looked at. We become our own voyeurs, performing femininity, heels, endless apologizing. Margaret Atwood described this split consciousness. You are a woman with a man inside watching a woman. The digital age intensifies this surveillance. Women with larger social media followings feel increased pressure to monitor their appearance. Men experience no correlation. Platforms enforce standards selectively. White, conventionally attractive women post semi-nude content freely, while marginalized bodies face censorship. Consider Sarah Bartman, born in 1789 in South Africa. Enslaved at 16, she was exhibited throughout Europe as the Hottentot Venus, her body reduced to spectacle, her features weaponized to create reductive stereotypes of Black womanhood. When Kim Kardashian posed nude for Paper magazine in 2014, her oiled body echoed Bartman's historical depictions. Unlike Bartman, Kardashian profits from features that kept Black women enslaved. This is blackfishing, white women adopting Black features for financial gain, while women of color face discrimination for those same traits. The economics are stark. Influencers of color earn 18.7% less than white influencers in the UK, 35% less in North America. Beauty standards haven't evolved. They've simply found new ways to extract profit from colonial hierarchies. Bedrooms were once sacred spaces for private identity exploration. That boundary collapsed. Innocent webcam photo booths evolved into platforms like Omegle and Chatroulette, where young adolescent users suddenly encountered explicit sexual content and inappropriate behavior from adults. Interactions often dismissed as internet culture rather than recognized as harmful exposure. From childhood, many learn to view themselves primarily through the lens of sexual appeal and external validation. Sleepovers featured photo shoots mimicking adult imagery. Music videos presented a consistent pattern: fully clothed men surrounded by women in revealing attire, teaching that physical desirability determined social value. The mid-2010s reframed intimate self-photography as feminist expression. Public figures like Emily Ratajkowski and Kim Kardashian framed sexuality as empowerment. Yet this messaging came from individuals who already possessed conventional beauty privilege and established platforms. For many young people, sharing such images became a search for validation repackaged as progressive activism. Content creators on subscription platforms describe relentless pressure around appearance standards, extensive grooming routines, cosmetic enhancement, and digital filters to eliminate any perceived flaws. This fusion of appearance with sexuality perpetuates systemic gender inequality. Growing up immersed in hypersexualized media taught many that desirability meant conforming to externalized fantasies, with research indicating that women often engage in sexual activity for nearly a decade before recognizing their own pleasure as equally important. Women invest an hour daily on beauty preparation, roughly $300,000 over a lifetime on facial care alone. This labor must remain invisible. Beauty appears effortless while requiring elaborate rituals. In our visual digital culture, beauty functions as literal currency. Young women perform aesthetic labor at exclusive venues, compensated with free drinks and status, or leverage curated social media for luxury invitations and free meals. The halo effect grants attractive people measurable advantages, higher loan approvals, better legal outcomes, superior career opportunities. The twist? Well-groomed but less attractive women earn more than naturally attractive women who don't invest in beautification. Beauty standards reward conformity, not genetics. Despite facing economic disadvantages, student debt, lower incomes, fewer assets than previous generations, millennials outspend baby boomers 2-to-1 on beauty and wellness. Young women describe beauty work as an investment, internalizing the logic that their bodies are their most valuable assets in a precarious economy. When the system offers few paths to security, optimizing your appearance becomes financial planning. Remember teenage rating games assigning numerical values to body parts? The internet amplified this with hot or not websites. Research reveals a stark gender divide. Women describe their bodies as collections of flawed parts needing fixing, while men view theirs as whole functional units. In one University of Sussex study, every man described what their body could do. Every woman assessed herself purely as a decorative object. Cosmetic surgery has exploded globally, increasing 20% between 2015-2019. Originally developed for reconstructive care after wartime injuries, plastic surgery now predominantly serves women, 94% of patients, while 90% of surgeons are men. The Brazilian butt lift increased 90% in the same period, despite being one of the deadliest procedures, with a 2017 mortality rate of 1 in 3,000. Technology promised liberation, but trapped women in endless reconstruction. The Kardashians represent ultimate beauty cyborgs, fusing fiction with flesh, creating an uncanny valley effect that simultaneously inspires imitation and discomfort. Under capitalism, our bodies extend beyond skin boundaries, leaving us in perpetual flux, never complete, always consuming. Influencers have become modern deities, with followers offering sacrificial likes at digital shrines. By age 13, 80% of girls use filters, with 67% hiding body parts before posting. 10-year-olds curate filtered selfie albums, while 13-year-olds avoid leaving home because they aren't pretty enough in real life. When an unfiltered photo of Khloe Kardashian went viral, she fought to remove it despite widespread praise, demanding acknowledgement of her humanity while refusing to be seen as merely human. AR filters claim 600 million monthly users on Instagram and Facebook, with 76% of Snapchat users applying them daily. Most concerning isn't obvious beauty filters, but covert tweaking that's become standard. Beyond competing with filtered versions of ourselves, we now face virtual influencers like Lil McKella, a forever 19 digital creation. Many prominent virtual influencers are women of color, offering brands artificial diversity without hiring real women. one woman idolized Tumblr-famous girls, meticulously copying their lifestyles. As she grew thinner, her following exploded. She wouldn't eat before photo shoots, a pattern maintained for 3 years. When you starve a brain, you become obsessive while losing ability to see bigger pictures. At 32, one content creator posts tearful videos about aging, inspiring teenagers to fear birthdays. In 2012, fewer than 20% of U.S. women aged 18 to 24 considered anti-aging important. By 2018, over 50% wanted wrinkle-defying products.
Between the 15th and 17th centuries, thousands of women were persecuted as witches. Marginalized, promiscuous, queer, self-sufficient, single, difficult, older, disabled, and wise women. Today, women who dare to be visible face similar persecution online, with UNESCO finding Black, Indigenous, Jewish, Arab, and lesbian women journalists experiencing the most severe abuse. Liberation from beauty standards means eating without guilt, moving for joy, not knowing your weight, feeling authentically beautiful, living without self-loathing. Research shows focusing on what our bodies can do rather than how they look creates the happiest data we've ever seen in the lab. We must collectively relegate beauty to the background of our lives, the elevator music, not the motor. To build a better future, we need more women in STEM, tech, politics, investment, journalism, research. It's not enough to have more seats at the table. We must question how the table itself is constructed. In a world monetizing insecurity and gamifying self-hatred, choosing to exist as you are becomes radical resistance. Your body isn't a project requiring endless optimization. It's the vessel carrying you through this one precious life, worthy of care and peace. The most revolutionary thing you can do is simply be human, flawed, aging, unfiltered, gloriously real.